The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
What I think that does for you is that when it is hard and when they have invested a lot, they won't quit. They've invested in doing this the right way.
Ooh. Mike Riley. Ooh. On his team this offseason, it all comes to a head and kickoff 2017. You have waited and waited and waited. Welcome and celebrate. It's Hail Varsity Radio on a Saturday. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak in studio.
Yeah.
And we are fired up. We are ready to go. And the season's here. That is one of many things that have kind of stuck with me as you've waited for this day. You've waited for kickoff.
This is why you read all those articles.
Thank you, Parcells.
That's why you listen to all those shows.
That's why you lift all them weights.
That's why you suffer through a half hour BTN segment just for, 74 seconds of Nebraska coverage.
Ooh, suffers is a why. Strong word.
Well, you know.
You are. I'm going to get a picture of this right now as we talk.
What? No, come on. What are you doing?
You're wearing it.
What?
It's good.
What's wrong?
I got a freaking Herbie staring at me for the next 2 hours is what's wrong.
Herbie likes you, man. It's good. I got Herbie on my shirt.
I know you do, and he's just staring right at me with the red hat.
With my boys from BBB Printing, I got a Nebraska Public.
Yeah.
Hat on. It's game time, man.
Man, you're fired up.
It's
another
time.
Year of the Kranak season ticket holder.
It's, yeah. It ought to be
you.
A good one. Taking a neighbor today.
Good.
That'll be good.
I'm leaving my kid at home.
Yeah, you should.
He's been a slob all week.
Clean his room. That's all he has to do.
He's had a chance to do it 14 times. He's 0 for 14.
You know what I'm excited about, though? For this
a lot.
The team ended up working out harder than they ever have in the offseason. Did you know that? This year, they worked harder than they've ever worked. Ever. It was the hardest off-season conditioning program they've ever been through.
Listen.
So you know that means 12-0.
Okay.
Obviously.
You hear that every off-season.
What?
Do you believe it's going to be different this time?
Yeah.
Bob Diaco comments coming up shortly. He handed out the black shirts this week. More from Riley at his press conference. Oh, yes, Arkansas State is in town. It has been an emotional week for Coach Anderson, his family. Thoughts and prayers to him and his wife as she had successful surgery, and that is awesome news. You've got some major talent coming in from Arkansas State. I think Nebraska fans have, if you're being real, you're like, okay, this thing will be a ball game for a bit. I mean, that's kind of the consensus, and you've seen what to start off college football 2017.
Yeah.
You've seen sluggishness, Wisconsin sleepwalking.
Yep.
The Twinkies were being threatened to be taken away.
Well, Iowa State was damn near on the ropes.
With the Wisconsin offensive lineman. Then they kicked it into gear last night. Rutgers, for the love of God. Made it look like it was
covered.
A ball game for the Rutgers covered.
There you go, Scarlet Knights.
But Washington was like, what's going on? I mean, maybe it's the new hot tub. I don't know. And then you have Nebraska, Arkansas State tonight. And then you have, of course, Florida State. I mean, you have some awesome games. But you have Nebraska in this chance. And Kranak, back to your point about how it's different.
Yeah.
We kind of spent some time on it last week, why it can be different for Nebraska.
More push-ups. They did more.
I just think guys are ready to kind of just change the tune and the narrative. And I think it starts on the offensive line. I think it starts with some of these guys that are juniors that are soon to be seniors. Luke Gifford's going to join us our Rewind segment with the Pride of Lincoln Southeast.
That's going to be a name that we're all going to know if he stays healthy.
Mm-hmm.
He's still a fairly anonymous player if you're just casual fan.
Okay.
You haven't even heard of him if you're a casual fan. You know what I mean? And I think that's the same thing for a lot of the guys that you're going to see on defense. You just haven't heard. You just don't know about. The casual fan doesn't really know about Chris Weber either.
No,
like, is that the guy that
the guy who did awesome against Illinois and then got hurt?
Right. Like you don't know about Gifford. You don't know about these are not even close to household names. and you're depending on them to be household names mm-hmm. as this year goes on.
Nope. And so that's one of the intrigues for this season. Next hour, Brandon Vogel going to be with us. Gary Sharp, the return of the Iron Horse.
That's right, man. Took a little sabbatical.
It's going to be good to chat with him.
Yeah, it will. It'll be good.
You can join us this morning on Hail Varsity Radio if you're up and about, if you're getting the ribs, put on the smoker, you're getting the brisket ready. Maybe it's street taco time. I don't know. I don't care. It's just get us a picture. But you can join us this morning on Hail Varsity, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Can tap the line with Shillingbridge, Cork, and Tap House. Okay, expectations. We went through this yesterday as we were on site at Miller Time. And let's just talk a second about total wins, and then we'll get into tonight.
Ooh.
Are you closer to double digits, or are you in that gray area of 8-9-ish?
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Okay.
And until, because the ultimate question is, how sturdy is this thing? You know what I mean? Like, you watch Wisconsin yesterday. Yeah, they struggled early.
And then turned it on.
That's a sturdy program.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're just like, they play to a certain standard, no matter who the hell they're playing. I mean, when was the last time Nebraska bludgeoned a team like that? Utah State isn't a terrible program, right? They're in the bowls at least every other year, it appears.
They have their niche, and they're difficult to deal with.
Right. I mean, you know, and Wisconsin just completely bludgeons them. Nebraska hasn't done that. That's the sign of a sturdy program. He knows what they're doing offensively, defensively, know what's expected.
Their identity is physicality.
It's so, and it is fixed. And that's just how it is. So where's Nebraska at in relation to that? They just have, it's felt flimsy at times.
I think they
over
know
the past
I
few
think,
years.
I think they know what they want to do, obviously. They want to be a team that has just outstanding quarterback play,
mm-hmm.
a team that is very sound on the offensive line. They can protect the quarterback, can also run the football. And they're a team that knows they needed to get tougher on defense, so they made a change. They know where they want to go. The difference is this is probably...
Are they there? How close are
not
they?
This is probably a step. I don't know how many steps you have. Since it is tailgate season, the bar's at the end of the sight line, right? How many steps do you need to make it to the bar?
Yeah.
Okay. What step are you on right now? Wisconsin's standing at the bar.
Well,
from an identity standpoint.
Overall, good sign, though, in terms of depth. Outside of receiver and tight end, you're pretty well stockpiled with highly recruited talent.
You got some players. You don't know what they're going to be.
Right. But you're pretty well stockpiled mm-hmm. at every position with some high-level four-star recruit, you know, some athletes that a lot of other programs were after. And you I don't think you could say that over the past several years. You can say you were stockpiled.
I think you were leaning on a core group of 15 to 20 dudes.
Yeah, you're really hardcore. Yep. And now the thing about today that's interesting with Arkansas State, too, all five of their offensive linemen are new. Mm-hmm. All five.
One of the guys had a couple of starts, but yeah, I mean, for the most part, he's 80% welcome to Lincoln.
And they got a dude that's a transfer from Iowa State mm-hmm. that's played some ball, too. But for the most part, it's five brand new dudes. And you're going against this Nebraska front that hasn't proven anything yet, really. Stoltenberg has proven that he's serviceable so far. Akinmolodun, kind of the same thing. Davis, a little less so, but you see the promise, right? But you wouldn't call any of those three stars. But what you would call them is athletic
mm-hmm.
and pretty damn big at the same time. Like, they have the makings of a defensive line that could be a serious problem for a lot of teams. Akinmolodun, he isn't... Look, are you worried about his speed or his strength? Nope. Dude's 280. I mean, he can bring it. He's, you know, he's a specimen. Stoltenberg, you worried about him physically at all? No. He's fine. Davis? I mean, come on. Those guys could be hell this year.
Oh.
If they make the step up that you think they you know, that you would assume they would. You don't have any kind of just slow, stodgy dudes there.
No.
You got guys that can move, that are workout freak shows, and you're going against an offensive line that has never started together today. This is, I mean, this has the makings of, and so we'll see how much of a step they've taken. But this should be a situation where that defensive front, coupled with, depending on how much Diaco wants to open it up today, because he's going to save some stuff for Oregon. I know they won't say that he will, but he will. He's not going to throw everything at him. Or maybe he does throw everything at him just to get Oregon to have to prepare for everything. I don't know. But
yeah, where are you going to focus?
But you got that defensive line with those three guys that are all, like, physically, you don't need anything more. You're good with how they are. And you're bringing some extra backers against this line that's never started. I mean, Nebraska could smother those guys.
Well, that is going to be something that, if you're a Nebraska fan, you've kind of got to see. Yeah. Is that pass rush question answered?
It's got to be better, man. It's
got to be better. You made the switch for it to be better. And you got to protect until they're ready. And maybe they are ready. Maybe they have a great game. You got to protect two really young and green corners that'll be under attack. Bob Diaco handed out the black shirts. He gets what the tradition's all about. He was asked about it earlier this week, speaking of the defensive line and what type of game they need to have.
Pretty clear, pretty clean process. It's really exciting tradition. It's pretty awesome that young people, young men in particular that we're talking about here, aspire to be, and their goal is to carry the burden of accountability and responsibility of defending the hopes and dreams of the team, the university, and the state of Nebraska.
Doesn't it sound like the dude's reading?
No. Listen, go watch the video, HailVarsity.com.
He's not reading.
He's waxing poetic.
No, yeah, he's not reading. But if you just kind of close your eyes, it seems like he's got this little, like, notebook.
There's no notebook.
Accountability.
There's a prompter.
Responsibility. Okay. Of the accountability, you know, leveraging the strategies of the, yeah. He likes to use the big words. Good for him.
And they handed it out. One of those recipients, Lou Gifford, you'll hear that rewind coming up in about 7 minutes.
That dude's been a turnover machine in the in camp.
Yeah. Well, he's also a guy that, you want to talk pass rush, he has worked his butt off to get better at it. Because Gifford's a dude that's been a safety. They moved the linebacker.
He was a quarterback in high school.
Yeah, and safety.
Yep.
And he is, and you'll hear the interview with him, but just like the hand-to-hand combat he's had to learn as a pass rusher. He didn't blitz a lot in high school.
No.
So he's going to be asked to do that at times this year. Obviously, coverage is his strength along with newbie.
Yeah.
So, no, I mean, it's just an exciting time.
Yeah.
It's an exciting time. It's the season opener. It's Nebraska and Arkansas State. And you had a great question here. How sturdy is this thing? And it's going to be the lines of scrimmage that determine Nebraska's fortune this year. I like where you were going with a lot to prove, but you can feel okay with your front three.
Yeah.
Okay. And I like some of the depth behind there. I think Khalil is all right. I think D-Train, DeAndre Thomas is somebody that you'll feel good about too, is kind of another option from a pass rush standpoint on the interior.
Right.
You know, you have those two interior guys that are stalwarts, specifically Dedrick Young, and behind him, I mean, you've got some guys. I mean, Mo Berry, man, he's been chomping.
Looks the part.
Looks the part, absolutely.
Yep.
So flip it around to the offensive line, and that's what my eyes are on, and I think the state's eyes are on today as well, is this Arkansas State pass rush against the offensive line.
Yep.
And here's two themes, right, for 2017. It's how do you finish, not just the season, but how do you finish the games? Okay, do you finish strong? And do you have a chance to take that step forward today? And you've been waiting a long time, if you're a Nebraska player, to just unleash some of that frustration and anger to how last season ended.
It was
last year's last year, but you've been carrying a bag of bricks. Some guys have for X number of months now since Tennessee, since Iowa.
Look,
you got a chance to kind of go shower today.
Look, that's a good way of putting it. Offensive line, starting at the Wisconsin game, when it was when Tanner Farmer went down.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, you seriously had Dylan Utter as the only healthy original starter. Like, not trying to use injuries as an excuse, but it's a reality, right?
Oh,
like
you want to whine about the run game, right? Run the ball guy, if you're out there.
That's where it died.
Yes, it did, because you can't get any oomph if your freaking ankle's beat up.
Yeah, it all died from then on. And the entire offense's production just completely fell off a cliff after that.
Mm-hmm.
You had nobody healthy on the O-line.
And you didn't have anyone ready behind him.
You didn't. Now,
your talent.
And look, you're going to sustain more injuries this year. That's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But I think Nebraska suffered an inordinate amount last year.
Well, and what do you hear about?
You lost Foster, who's probably your best one. He's a team captain.
Yeah, he's.
Why do you think he's a team captain?
He's your best lineman.
He's your best lineman. He wasn't even a factor last year, except for like two games. He wasn't even in, and that was like his first action. But the rest of the team thinks enough of him. So you played without your best lineman. Your starting left tackle was hobbled all year. Your right guard was hobbled.
Got rolled up on.
Mm-hmm. Your right tackle, Neville, he struggled all year. So you had to throw Conrad into the fire. So look, injuries are going to happen again this year. It's going to happen, of course.
How do you counter with that? You've got some guys that you've developed and you feel okay about. You've got a good second unit. I mean, on paper, you got a good second unit. They got to go play, but you've addressed the problem and been developing them.
Mm-hmm.
You have eight guys to go with.
Look, you were throwing in guys last year that typically wouldn't have played.
No.
That's knock on them.
They would have played when the score is 56-0.
Exactly. They typically wouldn't have played, but they had to play because Nebraska didn't have any choice. So this year, look, yes, there are going to be injuries, but you know, getting four of your five starters injured on the line, you can reasonably expect going into the year that won't happen. You can reasonably expect we're not going to lose four out of five of our starters to injury this year. Yeah, that's a reason. I think last year, I think you were a little snake bit.
Mm-hmm.
So if they stay healthy, so what I'm saying is you can't even evaluate, quote unquote, the line, or even Kavanaugh, I don't think, yet.
Can you I don't fairly?
Think you can I don't think you can fairly evaluate those guys.
Can you fairly evaluate the offense? Let's just go bigger.
Not really. No.
Because what do you hear? What are they going to do run-wise?
No.
Okay, they got their quarterback. They have...
Hey,
some skill guys at wide receiver. Again, this is year three, but it is going to be a chance to see a full display of really good play calling, a talent that matches,
mm-hmm.
and guys to help out and really stress the defense multiple ways.
Look, dude, this is, to me, this is the first year.
First day of the rest of your life.
That you can fairly evaluate everything that's going on offensively. It is completely fair to evaluate Kavanaugh and the production of the offensive line starting today.
Mm-hmm.
It is completely fair to evaluate Danny Langsdorf and Mike Riley's offense and whether or not that can work in the Midwest and all that. It can work at a traditional run-heavy school. Completely fair. Not fair to do that when Tommy was the quarterback. Mm-hmm. It wasn't. And by the way, I got to give those guys credit. They did not come in like Callahan and just scrap the whole thing and say, we're going West Coast. Good luck, Joe Daly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, good luck, Bo Davis. And just throw him out there.
Tommy, you're fast. Why don't you run the ball?
These guys came in and they morphed their system to try to fit him. They did, what they could.
And you're going to see, I think, some of that this year on the defensive side.
Mm-hmm.
By Diaco, you're going to adjust and adapt what you call based on some of the guys you have.
Well, Diaco doesn't strike me as a hard-headed type. You know what I mean?
He just wants to win and be successful.
Exactly. Like, he does not strike me as our system.
It's my system.
Yeah. He does not strike me as that guy. He's sort of like, all right, what do we got? What do we got? What do we got? Okay. All right, how can I devise something with these guys? You know, as opposed to, nope, this is how we do it. I don't care if you run a 5-2. You're covering that receiver in the slot, right? Like, he doesn't...
Coach, that isn't going to work. Take a lap.
Yeah. Yeah. He just, he seems like an adaptable guy. But we're probably expecting a little too much, probably drinking a little too much Diaco Kool-Aid. This is their debut today in that system. You have a lot of new guys playing. For as much as talk about Luke Gifford, and we'll hear from him next, the guy does not have a lot of experience. Like, he doesn't. Like, today he's going to be freaking out on the field probably.
Yeah. Well, he's played, but it's
not much. It's different when you're the starter and it's a night game and there's 70,000, you know, 90,000.
I think the talk all week has been it's not, well, starter, it's this is our chance to debut and here's your role. I think that's how it's been explained.
Yeah.
This is what you've worked on. This is your role. You'll be called upon to do X, Y, and Z tonight.
Yeah.
Get ready. Enjoy it and understand it. Go execute it. That's Mark Kranak, Chris Schmidt. It's Hail Varsity Radio. Great to have you to kick off 2017 Nebraska in Arkansas State. Kickoff is at night, which means before you go tailgate, maybe it's time to get a tee time at your favorite golf place. That's Wilderness Ridge. WildernessRidgeGolf.com, 402-434-5106. And it is a holiday weekend, so celebrate the holiday weekend with a round of golf. Take advantage of the long weekend, and what better way to do it than with checking in with Wilderness Ridge. Golf on the championship course or the Talon course, Sunday, September 3rd and Monday, September 4th, at a discounted rate. How discounted? How about $8 plus tax and a cart fee is additional for the Talon course. You can walk that puppy for $8 and change. $2 off range bucket as well. Championship course after one. How about this? Sunday or Monday, $35 plus tax after one. And, of course hours today, 11 to 11. Sunday, the restaurant's closed, and Monday, 11 to 10. Make a tee time. Get out there before you put the clubs away. Get the holiday weekend golf locked in. Membership rates, membership pricing. Your friends at Wilderness Ridge will be there for you. WildernessRidgeGolf.com. Okay, let's talk to a black shirt. Let's talk to a Southeast Knight, and he's ready to thrive this season for Nebraska at linebacker. Our rewind next on Hail Varsity with Luke Gifford.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, sir. You heard me right.
Here are the guys, Schmidt and Kranak.
Well, Hector, here's the game plan. You're going to bring us two absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us two more. Then two more after that, every 5 minutes until one of us passes out.
Excellent strategy, sir.
Luke Gifford with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Luke, it is game week. How's that sound?
Oh, man, it's about time. It's been a while coming. You know, fall camp was definitely a grind. It was long, but everybody embraces it, and we're ready to roll.
Captains were selected. You have five very deserving teammates. When you're putting your vote in, give me that thought process of what you're looking for in a captain, what you're looking for in a guy to lead.
Right. Well, you know, one of the first things that pops up is the guys who've experienced this and gone through it, you know. And I think Chris Weber and Josh Glue, just specifically on the defensive side, those two guys have been here and played a lot of football. And then just character, you know. Those guys are good guys, great guys. I know Kalu doesn't do a lot of interviews, so he might not be known as well, but everybody knows how great of a guy Chris is and how hard they work. So really, it was a no-brainer for us on defense.
What's Chris's personality like, and what's Kalu's personality like in that locker room?
Right. You know, Chris is maybe a little more laid back. He doesn't say as much, but he knows when to, and when he does talk, everybody listens. He's very respected. So that's kind of how he operates. And then, you know, Kalu's pretty vocal, and he knows when to speak up and get after guys, but he's also got this just attitude that everybody loves. You always want to be around him. He's super fun to play with. He's got a swag about him. So he's perfect to lead our defense.
That's going to be a buzzword this 17 season is swag.
Yeah.
I would assume defensively. Kind of describe what it means to you and how the 90,000 plus will see that on Saturday night.
Well, you know, I think first is just that attitude that when we come out on the field that we want to dominate, you know. And I think we've had that the last couple of years, but it's really been taken to a whole nother level. And I think we all really believe in it, too, that when we step out there, we can really enforce our will, honestly. I think we've come a long way in the spring and the summer, and everyone's really confident in what we can do. So we're excited to put it out there.
3-4 defense is what you're in. What do you love about it?
It's so multiple. There's so many different things we can do. People flying around. And, you know, it's not even as much the 3-4 as it is Coach Diaco's just mentality that he's instilled in us, you know, just the way we go about every day. And I think that's really changed our defense and the way we play.
Luke, what's he said to you specifically? He's spoken publicly about what he likes about your skill set from a conversation standpoint. Then what kind of direction has he given you up to now?
Yeah, I think just to be a great player out in space, you know, be able to cover and then come up and play the run too, and then also add a dimension in the pass rush game, which is something I'm really excited about and looking forward to. So I'm just trying to make a stamp wherever I can, honestly, and hopefully I'll be able to do that.
Couple more minutes. Luke Gifford with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. So, watching you in high school, you were in the secondary. You've put on some muscle, more muscle, and you're playing that outside linebacker spot. You mentioned pass rush, and there'd be a few times where the safety blitz would happen in high school. Now you've got coverage responsibility, which you're fabulous at, but you got a pass rush.
Right.
How's that process been to bring out your inner Lawrence Taylor, I guess?
Yeah, you know, it's been tough. It was really hard for me. I remember in high school, honestly, I'm going to take a shot at Coach Miller real quick. He never let me blitz. I always tried to talk him into letting me. So when I got to college, I had never really done it before, and it was something I really had to work on. And honestly, up until this year, I really hadn't gotten it down. You know, this year is the first year that I've really worked hard on it. And a lot of it is that I'm just bigger and stronger, you know, so that helps a ton, obviously. But it's a craft, you know. Coach Borrello's really helped me work on it, and it's still very much a process, still pretty raw, but I'm excited about spending time on it.
Prell is just fantastic with the technique work when it comes to that line of scrimmage battle, but to be able to be a good pass rusher with your size and strength, the bull rush is a natural, but I'm sure there's got to be some other, so to speak, pitches you have to have to go to. And what are those, not to give anything away, but what are those other like techniques you've had to work on?
You know, just your hands. Your hands are so huge, and I never really knew much about that until last year when I started doing a little bit. But that it's such a technique to it that you have to master. And when you look at the guys in the NFL who are the great pass rushers, their hands are just always moving, always getting the linemen's hands off them. And then being able to use your speed, for me, I think that's the biggest thing, is just utilizing my speed and being able to make counter moves off that. So,
who's been pretty good to go against to help you get better? What linemen or two or three stick out?
Well, definitely Nick Gates. Gates is... He's a good one, you know, and I know when I can go up against him every day, and trust me, he gets me more oftentimes than not, but if I can make a move on him and get to the quarterback, then I know that I can do it against a lot of people, honestly. And then Gerald, obviously. Gerald, I never really got to do that against him in high school and even much last year. So this year he's like to tell me about it a little bit when he stops me. But it's awesome going against him, because that dude, he knows what he's doing. So
Foster, pretty good trash talker.
Oh, Gerald can talk trash with the best of them, yes. He probably won't tell you that, but he can definitely do it.
Couple more minutes. Luke Gifford with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. You know, when you look at this season and you have a new defense, that's been a talking point, the transition. The offense is a new leader at quarterback and maybe a better pro-style fit. And from an excitement level standpoint, I mean, where's the locker room at with just you're taking it one game at a time?
Right.
It seems like there are fits on both sides for potentially more complementary football.
Oh, yeah. We are super excited, you know. I mean, you try not to pay attention to what everybody else is saying, but you obviously see it, and we take it with a grain of salt. It's not that big of a deal to us, but deep down, you know, it definitely digs at you a little bit, and we're all excited to finally get out there and show what we can do, because we know how good we can be. And obviously, take it just one week at a time, but this Saturday is the first step.
Is confidence as high as it's been since you've been here?
Honestly, yeah. I mean, I think back to when we had Amir and Kenny their senior year. That was pretty, and Randy and those guys. It's pretty similar, honestly, to when they were here. So, you know, I was a freshman, so it's a little bit different. I wasn't playing, so I don't understand it as much. But since I've been here and been playing a little bit, I think this is the highest our confidence has been.
Luke Gifford's with us here, Hail Varsity Radio. Luke, have you had a chance to dig in on Arkansas State at all?
Yeah, you know, we started last week on Wednesday. They're going to be a solid team. They're going to have a great offense. It'll be a good first test for us, so we're excited about it.
What stands out about them from their offensive side of the ball? 8-5 last year. A lot of dudes that can play ball and are from different programs that ended up there. And what's kind of their style? What's their philosophy offensively?
A lot of speed, you know, get it on the edges. They got some really good receivers, good quarterback coming back, and then two really good backs too. And so they got a lot of playmakers, a lot of places they can go with the ball. So we're going to have to be really sound and make sure we're great with our assignments.
Last thought here. You've been going against the offense for, I don't know, 15 weeks, right? The new offseason. What are Nebraska fans going to see from this offense, and what gives you confidence with this offense now moving forward here for this season?
Yeah, you know, they're a good bunch. They're probably the best offense I've gone against in the last couple of years while I've been here, honestly. I think they're so, with Tanner back there leading them, they're so poised and there's a lot of good things that they do. I know going up against that line and pass rush and stuff, they pick up dang near everything. You know, Coach Cav's got them dialed in, and the backs have been really good, and really the receivers too. All around, there's no drop off. There's a lot of weapons we have, and I know I hear people talk about being worried about the weapons, but we're not worried at all. We know what we got, so we're excited about it.
Luke, have a great season. Thanks for a few minutes.
Yep, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Now it's time to get back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
All right, that's it!
You two guys leave me no choice. No television for a week. What?!
It's all going to be the proof in the pudding, how we play. And I don't want to be that guy that just says, give the ball to the quarterback and go win the game for us. I mean, it's going to take our team. Our line's got to do a great job. Our running game's got to be good. Receivers have to make plays. I mean, it's no different. All the parts have to work together for the quarterback to be good. So this isn't just going to be about how he plays. It's going to be how all those parts around him play.
There's 10 other guys, Mark.
What? No,
there's 10 other guys.
They need to know their role.
The St. John Wayne Lone Ranger, go get it done. Go Brett Favre yourself to...
You know, he's not that guy, which is good. Like, from what we've seen so far, he's not a hotshot quarterback. You know
what
I mean?
He's not Iceman.
He's not
Maverick.
He's not Aaron Rodgers, Favre, kind of Philip Rivers style, like, crazy over the top competitive, crazy over the top athletic.
Listen,
he's more. Who would you compare?
I disagree that he's. I think he probably has that same sort of wired competitiveness where he wants to win.
I'm talking disposition,
but I'm saying I think he's much more.
He's Eli.
He's much more sane with his decision making. He isn't going to force it. He is Eli. That's a perfect call.
Disposition wise, he's Eli.
Suddenly you take
hopefully
this personality test.
Yeah, no, well, hopefully he's not as awkward. I mean, we just don't need that. But
what, tank top?
Well, even if he is, who cares?
Def Leppard shirts?
Eli won a couple Super Bowls. I mean, I guess you could be as awkward as you want.
Yeah, do your thing.
Well, and Langsdorf coached that disposition really well.
Right,
you know
now,
what I mean? Like, Tanner's just chilling.
Every plane.
He's chilling.
Every plane. Well, and guess who's coached Tanner Lee? Eli?
Well.
Down in the Manning camp?
Basically, what we're saying is Nebraska's going to win it all this year because Eli Manning's at quarterback. Eli Manning part two.
No, I like that call, that demeanor.
It's different. It's different. Now, I don't think Nebraska's I wouldn't even say Zach Taylor was like that. He was wound kind of tight. This guy, he's just not wound tight. You know what I mean? And so who knows how that's going to play out? And who knows how he'll be in pressure situations? You know what else is funny when watching him? And I'm not even saying, obviously, I'm not saying he's going to be as good as Peyton Manning. But you can tell he's
Grant,
patterned.
Just listen, come on, bro. It's been like, an offseason of hype. Just
I'm
keep
not,
piling
no,
seconds
I'm just
and
saying,
thirds and
no, no,
fourths
no.
on.
No, but you know
just
how.
Don't stop
no, no,
yourself.
Look, no, I'm talking his in the pocket mannerisms are pretty similar, though.
Well, yeah.
Right? Like,
he's evasive.
Well, and you know how Peyton did that little
kind of. He's more evasive than the whole two or three little chop, chop, chop throw.
Right. You know how Peyton did those little tiny hops, little tiny chop, hop, whatever that was? Like he was always kind of bounding.
He'd reset his feet.
He's always kind of bounding up and down. Like you'll see that from Tanner. It'll be so interesting to see that level of quarterbacking. And right. And like, are they all right? Well, I'd be shocked. I thought Brandon said it so well. Brandon Vogel said it so well a month or so ago, where he's like, look, if he's not good, then literally they were all wrong. Like all of them. The chances of all of those experts being wrong is pretty damn low. So he's probably going to be pretty damn good. And it'll just be really interesting to see that, to see very competent quarterback play where you don't, where there's just not, I don't know if he's going to like completely wow people as much as there is just going to be such an absence of crappiness. You know what I mean? Like, I think he's one of those guys that'll see.
It's not you, it was them.
Look, even in the spring game, there was that wow throw to Spielman. But outside of that, do you remember much of what he did? No. But you don't, like, nothing really stood out, but also nothing jumped out as, like, what the hell is he doing? See, like, that never happened.
The spring game was just so blah, okay? It just, that's what it was. But you saw some throws. You saw him take the reins. You saw him act confidently. You saw him get it down. I mean, the tangible, the intangible kind of comes together. And with Eli, back to Riley's comment to start off this segment, it is going to be a lot about not only the offensive line stepping their game up, but finding a run game. I mean, put him in position to succeed so it's not live or dying by the sword on offense. And that has been such an Achilles heel for Nebraska the last several years. It has eventually come down to the quarterback having to be awesome in big games.
And that's going to happen again this year.
And sometimes it worked out.
Yeah.
And sometimes it didn't. I mean, you've had guys like Amir. You've had some skill parts like Kenny Bell or Anunua. I mean, you've had some guys. And when it's been on, when you've had the skill guys with the quarterbacking and the run game, you've had an explosive offense that averaged damn near 40 points for some years.
Yeah.
Okay, but now it's a different offense. There is fear and danger of being too one-dimensional just because you haven't seen it. Back to your point about the offensive line, you can make your judgments this year on the O-line. The last couple, maybe not so much because of circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
So do you get that emphasis? Do you get that run game? Do you get that, okay, we understand, we're telling you out loud that it can't be him throwing it 50 times. That's not the world we want to live in.
Yeah.
Well, okay, then what do you do about that? How do you maintain balance? And listen, there's some things they're going to have to compensate for this year when it comes to quarterback play, and that is the spectacular on 3rd and 58 that was completed and sometimes completed for touchdowns. And there's other things they're going to have to compensate for when it comes to the quarterback run game. Can you do that with your stable of backs? Can you do that with the running backs and tight ends catching the football opposed to the rushing numbers you would have?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what Lee can give you. Your life's a trade-off, right?
Yeah.
And you're trading an athletic, tough competitor in Tommy for a very poised personality with tremendous upside and arm talent and great decision making.
We think.
That's his reputation, right?
You
still got to go do it.
Yeah.
So are you going to upgrade at quarterback? The world would scream at me, yes, you're upgrading at quarterback, but are you upgrading with the talent around the quarterback to be successful?
Well, and receiver is a serious concern. In fact, I was pretty surprised at how much you see J.D. Spielman like on the kick return and Demorne Pearsonell on punt return. Like, I understand you putting those guys there, but the receiver position at Nebraska is, that depth is not good right now, like at all. We broke it down before where it's like you have seven out of your 17 receivers, you have seven scholarship receivers. Out of those seven, one is not on the depth chart, Zach Darlington. He's not going to get snaps at receiver. He's a holder. Great guy. Everybody knows his background, like, right? But he's not an actual receiver, right? So he just doesn't play.
He is, but he's just...
He's not even on the depth chart.
Not an option, right?
Right. So now you're down to six scholarship wide receivers. Javon McQuitty's hurt. Now you're down to five. The other three original scholarship receivers have never played a snap. Never, right? Like, they have never taken a snap. and then you got DPE and Stanley Morgan. I mean, that's that's what you're rolling out there with. That's what you're rolling. I mean, that's scary. So you put Spielman and DPE back there to field punts and kicks, lose one of them. Whew.
Again,
I mean, it's getting dangerously
back to the offensive line in the run game. If you're down to so few bodies at receiver, they're nice to go to, but give them a break and be able to run the football. No, there's just so much to look forward to this year as we wind down hour one here on Hail Varsity this morning, the weekend edition. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak.
Yeah, Keon Williams hurt.
Yeah, Colton Stone's producing. Ethan also sitting in today. And coming up, Gary Sharp will be with us in about 35 minutes. Brandon Vogel next hour. And you're welcome to join us. Can tap the line, Chillingbridge Cork and Tap House, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Before we say goodbye this hour, and we'll get into this with Vogues and Sharpie, is it a stress session tonight? Is it a kind of be patient and then it'll work out type evening? How do you think this game kind of flows? And I think I said in the predictions yesterday that it's going to be, because that number is at 14.5, 15-ish. I think it's going to be one of those 37-24 kind of Fresno State type Baltimore with Carr. Remember him a few years back?
Yep.
That type of game where...
That one was pretty contested, though. That one was, like, scarily contested.
So was Wyoming. I mean, you were up on Wyoming, and then they stormed back. This is 4 or 5 years ago.
I don't think this will be that.
Okay.
No, I think early on... Look, Arkansas State knows that they are completely outmanned their offensive line versus Nebraska's defense. Like, they're... That is a
Do
bad...
They?
Oh, they
have. Have they been getting pumped up all week? That I know you're young. I know it's... Time to start shaving. That said, this is a new defense. They don't know what they're doing. Go attack, boys.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You have this inexperienced offensive line going against a defense that you have no film to study and you have no tendencies to study.
It's new?
You know what I mean? So early on, I think they'll probably deal with it. They'll probably do a lot of misdirection. They'll do short passes. They'll do everything to compensate for that.
I think they're going to go to town with Mack, their tight end. I love that guy.
Well, and his matchup on Alex Davis is... I mean, Alex Davis is getting thrown into the fire right away if they match him up on that side.
If they decide to do that. Yeah. Nebraska corners will focus on that with Vogues and Gary Sharp next hour, as hour two coming up here. Sauter Heyman, go see Rick while you're bumping around downtown. Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds. 100% real diamonds grown in the lab. They're eco-friendly. They're 10 to 40% less than traditional earth-mined diamonds. See how beautiful pure-grown diamonds are today with Rick and Sauter Heyman. 12th and O downtown Lincoln. South Point Pavilion. Lincoln around west in Grand Island. SauterHeyman.com. You've made it. It is game day. And Brandon Vogel up next on Hour 2 of Hail Varsity.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Welcome to an hour two weekend edition, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak with you, and you made it. It's another Nebraska season opener. Lots to talk about for the season, for the game tonight. And we welcome you to Hail Varsity Radio. 466-3776, 800-825-5865. We heard from Luke Gifford last hour, the rewind segment. He is fired up about the defense. He's anxious to be a pass rusher. And he believes in this offense. And there's a ton of storylines for the season that you can see kind of formulate moving forward. We welcome in with HailVarsity.com and Magazine, a tremendous writer. He does hot reads for you. He is a fantastic columnist, and he is an amazing author. Him and John Cook been on the old John Cook and Brandon Vogel book tour this week between Barnes & Noble and the University Bookstore. Brandon Vogel with us, at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, it is game day. The season officially kicks off. Sir, how are you? Good morning.
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing great, man. Kranach's got his Nebraska Republic lid on. He's got his Herbie Adidas shirt on. Herbie keeps staring deadly at me.
Unbiased.
And
unbiased journalist.
We're watching highlights of Rutgers going, when did they get good? and yeah, it's here. His game day gets rolling, man. How about you? How's your mood?
Pretty good. It was a little bit strange. I woke up this morning and I was like, oh yeah, there's a football game today. Usually I don't have that moment of surprise, but it's been a long week where I didn't know which day of the week it was most of the time. So I guess this was fitting.
Hey, when you were signing, when you were at the book signing, we talked about last week how that's going to be a fairly awkward thing, right? As you're sitting next to John Cook. And like, did people skip you to get him? No, I'm just saying, because you know, some people are just like hardcore volleyball fans. Where they're just like, no, dude, I just want John Cook signing this picture or this whatever. Or how did that go?
No, it didn't happen. I offered to a couple of people in what I thought was a joking and not totally crazy way, although maybe they felt differently about that. You know, just sort of, you sure you want me on here sort of thing. I won't be offended if you don't, but nobody took me up on that.
That's awesome.
It went really well, actually.
That had to have felt pretty amazing, right? Like, I'm coming up on 40. Nobody's ever wanted my signature. Like, that just hasn't ever happened. That had to have felt kind of cool, right? You're just like, damn, all right. Did your signature change, or did you have, like, consistency throughout, or what?
I tried to have consistency, but it definitely did get a little there's some imperfections in there, which, so for future people trying to assess the value of this book like 70, 80 years down the road, there'll probably be some controversial determinations in there, but that's okay.
Is it authentic?
You know, in 40 years, when Pawn Stars has some guy trying to sell a copy, they're trying to authenticate Vogue's signature on this. That's what we're working on. Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and the magazine. Well, a lot yet to be written about 2017. It's chapter one, Vogue's, and let's talk a little bit about Arkansas State. And not to beat the dead horse that has been their pass rush, but you've taken an in-depth look at some of their players. You've taken an in-depth look at Arkansas State. And I think what is going on down in Jonesboro is wanted to be copied at some major programs, right? I mean, think of some giants that have kind of been, I don't know, struggling a bit. One thing that hasn't been an issue is finding the next coach to lead a program and be good, and it's happened at Arkansas State.
Yeah, it's kind of remarkable how many guys they've gone through there and been able to replace all of them. So their three coaches before Blake Anderson were Hugh Freeze, which now we know what happened there, but for a while it looked like he was doing a really good job at Ole Miss. Gus Malzahn, and then Brian Harsin. So, and Brian Harsin left because he's a Boise State guy through and through. And, you know, I think a couple of years back, if I remember this correctly, one of Arkansas, they got a new AD who explicitly said, want to be the Boise State of the South. And they're not quite at that level yet, but they've been pretty close. They seem to have had this, I don't know if it's intentional, but they play really well in conference play. They have struggled in the recent past in these sort of big conference games. That's kind of the difference between them and Boise State a little bit. But they're really solid in the Sun Belt. And you kind of know Sun Belt rosters tend pretty talented.
Yeah. And they've won, I think, what, five of the last six Sun Belt titles?
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. So they're not chumps walking in here. I mean, that's pretty obvious. But I can't get over the there's just one specific matchup that I just can't get over, and I don't see how they overcome it. And if they do, that's not good news for Nebraska. But their offensive line, all five of them, brand new starters, going against a defense they have no tape of, and a defensive line in particular, which physically leaves you wanting for nothing. I don't see how they deal with that. That's like, Nebraska should eventually sort of overwhelm that part of Arkansas State tonight, right?
Absolutely, and I don't know that it should take that long. this is what probably I think you feel best about if you're a Husker fan going into this game. Not only are they new, but there's no tape on what this looks like at Nebraska to this point. You can go back and watch UConn and try and do some things. So as if trying to assess and make sure your assignment sound wasn't hard enough for first-time starters, they've got nothing to go on. And just physically, as you mentioned, Nebraska's got some guys on the defensive line. So I think this will be the start of a pretty good season for those guys. It's tough how Arkansas State manages that part of it. And it'll sort of be interesting to probably won't do this live during the game, but when you go back and watch it again to see how Nebraska attacks it, or do they bring a fifth man a lot of the time? Do they need to? Do they, you know, disguise things? I think they'll play things pretty straight up, and it'll still look like are expecting it to look.
I think they'll play it straight up too. Base, whatever that base will be, and depends on the formation, obviously, of Arkansas State. That said, I think there's a real element of, I mean, just kind of trying to figure out Diaco, and he wants these guys to go rep it and get it down and then grow from that, because he has spent a lot of time talking about in-game experience, and don't sleep on that. And I don't think you are, not you folks, but, you know, folks listening, that you have a lot of guys being asked to do different roles, not only schematically, but just within the scope of the defense. I mean, Josh Kalu, bro, you're the leader. You're the quarterback of the defense. You're also now at safety. Go make this happen. Chris Weber, you're the middle linebacker, one of two in this new setup. Be a 95-tackle guy and crush it with this interior. Mick, hold that anchor, baby. Do it. Carlos, go get it off the edge. And outside linebackers, Newbie, Gifford, Alex Davis, get comfortable in the back pedal. I mean, I think he's really about these guys just kind of going, and we haven't even hit the corners. I mean, my Lord, with their inexperience. I mean, I think he wants these guys to settle in and then settle down, and getting all mad scientist is secondary, don't you think, tonight?
Yeah, I mean, for all the lack of scheme and those things, this year, because Diaco is new, but across football in general, you know, that stuff matters. It's really fun to look at and think about and talk about. But it's all sort of preparation. You're just trying to put people in the best spot you can. It's not like whoever wins a given play, it's whoever just who chose the best play, offense or defense. There's so much in there of guys just have to kind of make a play. And so I think the missing piece here for Nebraska is that's people adjust on the fly to those things. Can they do it within the confines of what they've learned over the past month, and then still understand how to just go out and play football? I think that's kind of what Diaco gets to. And I'm interested to see how that unfolds, because you can never really predict how that part of it's going to go.
Yeah. Brandon Vogel with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Hey, a couple things on special teams. Real quick, have you heard anything about Damian Jackson, the former Navy SEAL who made the 105? I mean, that tells you something. He wasn't a late ad. He made the 105. Hey, any word about his role, special teams or otherwise? He's probably not going to play on defense, but have you heard anything?
I haven't heard anything. It's sort of like you, with him on the 105, indicates he's bringing some value somewhere. Yeah. And for guys like that, where maybe they're not quite ready to step into the two deep, you'll usually find them on special teams. And I think it makes a lot of sense for him to have either punt or kick coverage, maybe both, depending on what he's able to do. So I do think you'll see him. He's got such a unique story and such unique experience that it seems like they came in knowing, okay, he's not going to be one of our top two, three, four defensive ends, but there's a reason we want him here. So I think you will see him on special teams.
Yeah, that one was 6'1", 245. He's about 25 years old. Never played high school football. But 6'1", 245 just screams wedge buster. Like Eric Martin, Carlos Polk, right? Just, if he can move, it just seems like that's probably his role. Another thing quick on special teams, Brandon. Surprised at all, or will you be watching closely that with given how thin Nebraska is at receiver, you got Lindsey, you got DPE,
Reimers.
No, what's his name? Spielman. God, sorry. Spielman. Those three are like your top return guys. Do you think, any concern about that? Should Nebraska fans be concerned, or do you think that's the right call, given how thin they are at receiver?
Well, I don't know if they have much choice, particularly a punt returner. You know, that's traditionally a receiver anyway, unless you hit Sanders or Darian Hagan, you know. So, and they're not that – they don't have a ton of options back in the secondary either in terms of that. You could see, oh, well, maybe he's a potential punt returner. You know, Trey Bryant handled kickoff returns. If you're really – concerned about that, which isn't as big a deal as punt return, obviously, you could slide him in there. But I just don't know really where else you go. I think you kind of just you've got to try to get something out of that spot. And with how things kind of broke out in terms of wide receiver depth, you're just kind of stuck a little bit.
Few more minutes. Brandon Vogel with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, let's hit on a couple of storylines. We spent time on the Diaco defense and, you know, what you want to see. And you know, a lot's been made about Tanner Lee this offseason. He gets to take a snap for the first time in forever. I mean, this guy's got to be starved to play in an actual game. And one of the bullet points that I think's been talked about but is important is that chemistry, not only with the team, but just the chemistry that Lee has with Langsdorf, and that could be a major piece to a very successful season. And if things get rough for whatever reason, I think it can help Nebraska through. Does it just seem and feel to you like, you know, when you've been in practice that Langsdorf he's been able to exhale a bit this year? I mean, he's still locked in. He's still all about being as perfect as possible or striving for that. That said, though, I mean, he's got to feel pretty comfortable with who he's got under center and vice versa. I think Lee's got to feel pretty good about who's teaching him and both guys being on the same page.
Yeah, I think so. You know, there certainly should be, I guess, an additional comfort level for Langsdorf. Yeah, you have sort of a college-level professor, and you don't have to do a bunch of the stuff that you kind of hope your quarterback come in with. You're onto the advanced stuff. And I think part of what's interesting about that, Lee could have gone really almost anywhere he wanted to go. So where do you go? Well, you go where you think you're going to get the best coaching. So that was kind of there from the start. We haven't heard a lot about what goes on there in those coach and player sessions, but every indication is it's probably going to be pretty good. You know, Langsdorf worked with Eli Manning for 1 year. I think you could see something similar with Lee this year.
Do you expect a pretty conservative offensive attack tonight? Look, when you got Javon Rolland Jones, you don't want to risk Tanner getting rocked. You know, don't you think they'll play it pretty close, short passes, rely on the run game as much as they can?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's going to sort of be their offense for the most part anyway. So I do think it'll be tough. There'll be a little bit of temptation after 2 years as a play caller to maybe use some of the things that you thought you'd left behind in Corvallis. So I think you'll see a pretty good mix from Nebraska. You know, their offense is one that certainly is more efficient than explosive. It doesn't strike you as sort of the offense that is going to come up with a ton of those 10, 20, 30-yard gains on you. They're going to do it more on schedule, I guess. So that's kind of what I'm expecting to see. And if you do that, you do sort of naturally protect the quarterback a little bit. So I don't know if it'll be specific for Arkansas State or if that's just how things are going to be.
Brandon Vogel with us, managing editor for Hail Varsity. At quarterback with Tanner, do you think he's going to be more defined by wow plays or absence of bad plays?
I think absence of bad plays, you know, if what we just talked about, sort of that short passing game is what it's going to be for Nebraska, people will probably be judging them based on completion percentage and accuracy. But there will still be occasional times, sort of like the spring game with the touchdown he had to Spielman, where he kind of uncorks one and gets to stretch his arm out a little bit. That'll have people saying, wow, I think at least once or twice a game.
Last thought, Brandon Vogel. How many yards does Nebraska rush for tonight?
Ooh.
I'm going to say 175.
175. Okay.
I'll take the overs on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going more in the...
You're going 220.
I was thinking 250.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Not a bet of steak and a beer?
Nope.
Okay.
I do not feel that confident about it at all. Nope.
As Vogue stays silent about how many Schmidt owes him. Okay.
I just saw a tweet from Sports Source Analytics last night. It's really hard to lose if you rush for 200 yards or more. So
mm-hmm. Mike Riley's undefeated.
I just have a feeling, you know, they're going to want to protect Tanner Lee. The offensive line's going to be full of piss and vinegar, and they're going to want to prove that they're not as bad as they showed last year.
They want to go caveman on somebody.
You got three tailbacks that are going to be competing for snaps. I just, you know, I don't know. I think it's closer to 250. We'll see.
Then you whack him with the play action. Brandon Vogel, HaleVarsity.com and magazine author at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, we'll see you down at the stadium. Thanks so much for everything. Appreciate you yesterday, and thanks for coming on today, bud.
All right.
There he is.
Thanks, Brandon.
Brandon Vogel with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Yeah. Quick timeout. The Iron Horse makes his triumphant return. Gary Sharp will join us here. We'll get his thoughts on the season.
Slow clap.
Perhaps. This is an 80s movie that's making my head hurt. Kranach's wearing a goofy-grinned Herbie Huskers that stares at me.
It ain't goofy, man.
Dude.
That's what you think, but he'll unload on you. You seen that dude's pipes? Herbie is swole, man.
Well, I was expecting to see him in the short-lived Fox promo video somewhere.
They finally pulled that, huh? Because I know Nebraska complained.
Nebraska's like, what the hell are you doing?
But did they actually pull it?
I don't know. I haven't seen it run.
By the way, what the hell was Fox Sports doing? Did you see the Minnesota one? It's all about Fargo and like wood chippers.
Oh, yeah.
Like, do those guys in the edit bays in New York and L.A. know that Fargo is not in Minnesota?
Borders Minnesota.
But right?
Fargo-Moorhead, but yeah.
But it's not Minnesota.
No, I know. It's not Minneapolis.
Dakota. It's Fargo, North Dakota.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, I was Minnesota had to have been like, dude, what?
Yeah.
What do you mean Fargo? That's North Dakota. Like, I don't know. It's weird.
So they messed up. That the whole wood chipper take, a state over, and then the whole human sacrifice thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of a lot of murder happened in there.
Johnny, you got two Big Ten teams. You drew Nebraska and Minnesota. Go to work.
Hey guys, what if we, this year, our theme...
What if we did Children of the Corn and Fargo, two of my favorite movies?
There's all 14 of these teams. What if our theme was just... like
dismemberment.
Like dismemberment and murder. What do you think, guys?
Hey.
For football.
Like it. You want sushi?
Yeah. Just come on, man.
All right.
Kind of a violent theme.
It's football, right? Big Ten. Brandon Vogel, thanks to him for joining us. A quick timeout. Gary Sharp next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome back to the show. Here are Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranach.
0.2. Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Welcome to 2017. Game day is here. It's Hail Varsity Radio. Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranach, and this man has given you the countdown to kickoff. And he returns, the
Gary.
Iron Horse, Gary Sharp.
Gary!
Sharpie, you've missed us. Gary. How are you?
Good. I'm glad to be back.
Dude.
Good to have you.
What did you do? Where'd you go? Did you travel the world?
Put the phone down and said, I'm not taking a call from those two yahoos.
You slept in?
God love him.
I had to focus in on camp for the last month, which seems like it had gone on forever. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've been starred for football, I think, more this year than we ever have. And I think it partially has to do with the end of last year, but also camp was so long, and camp was so quiet. There was no drama. There was no controversy out of camp. Probably one of the bigger storylines was an injury that happened before camp. So I think everybody's ready to play today. This is a holy day of obligation in this state, so I'm excited.
A holy day of obligation. Before we get into the matchup tonight and some thoughts overall with the season, Kranak and I were talking about the Fox Sports FS1 Big Ten promos, and earlier this week, the university said, you know, let's redo the old corn human sacrifice video. But, Kranak, you got this pulled up. Cleveland.com, what's it have?
I don't know if you saw this, Gary. Cleveland.com, Fox's Big Ten football team promos ranked by how murdery they are. these promos took a decidedly dark turn. The theme was definitely death. And Nebraska's was ranked as the most murdery. On the murder index, they got a perfect 10. Just behind Minnesota, who got a 9.9. Did you see Minnesota's, Gary?
Yes, I saw them all. I thought the Maryland one was pretty creepy as well.
I haven't seen that one yet. I'm going to check that. The Minnesota one, like, is that okay to – look, they reference Fargo, which is, like, not in Minnesota. What? And you know hockey. You know hockey, so you know that region really well.
Yeah.
I mean, would Minnesotans consider Fargo their own? I know there's the Fargo-Moorhead, but, right? That's different.
Yeah. I don't think so. I think it was – Fox tried to be very Hollywood with it and to do something out of the box. But they didn't consult with the schools that were involved, and so you got like a Nebraska reaction, which, you know, the Cornhuskers, corn is in the nickname, but the brand is, you know what, Lincoln, Nebraska is more than cornfields. We embrace the egg aspect of the state that makes our state so proud, but Lincoln's a progressive city, and it's not like when you drive down O Street, there are cornfields in the middle of it, and Nebraska encounters that on a daily basis on the recruiting trail, where you have people on the coast telling kids, hey, don't go to Nebraska because there's cornfields and there's children of the corn, like that video.
There's corn and it's a cult. Don't go.
And there's only white, and there's only white
GBR.
Players.
Yeah, GBR, right? Sharpie, some thoughts on this season and tonight. Let's start with the contest against Arkansas State. I think it's a really good challenge for Nebraska. I'm excited to see how it plays out. And there's a lot of different positions you can circle. I'm anxious to see how Nebraska's young corners respond tonight. I think they'll be tested by Hanson, a really good quarterback that, you know, could be at Oklahoma. Is that one area, I don't want to say of concern, but of intrigue for you tonight, the corner spots for Nebraska?
Well, I think at least at kickoff it's concerned because there's a lack of game experience back there, and you're absolutely right. The way Arkansas State will try and, first of all, see what they can do about putting linebackers in space and getting those cornerbacks in space as well. And Nebraska is going to have to tackle really, really well tonight. And we haven't heard a lot about improved tackling in the fall camp. They didn't do a ton of tackling, so that'll be a concern. I think that's a concern across college football in the opening game. But the cornerbacks, I think for the first game, because of the three that are there that haven't played a ton, that'll be a concern. But I think Nebraska tonight defensively won't show a ton, and I don't think it'll be full-time 3-4. I think you'll see a lot of specific packages that will be involved tonight. I don't think Bob Diaco is going to roll out the entire gamut, but it'll be a defense that is noticeable to all of us that got to see the workouts during the fall. They are a lot faster, and they play with a lot more confidence. Does that mean they're going to avoid breakdowns and so on and so forth? No, but guys aren't thinking as much. They are reacting, and that's going to benefit a couple of players, in particular Mr. Young, who has moved inside, who I think finally will be back to the player that we have wanted him to be since he showed up on campus a couple of years ago.
Hey, let's talk a little more about that, because I think most people's opinions of Dedrick Young are just, well, he looks the part. But you can't think of, like, the memorable Dedrick Young play.
Well, he's been solid. He's young, but you're waiting for that jump.
He just says he doesn't jump off the screen. I've actually seen him whiff on some pretty, you know, some pretty big big plays.
Yeah, screenshots are not his friend.
Right. Yeah. So what about him? Do you think? What will we see if he's playing a little bit more towards his capability?
Well, I think one, he took it upon himself with a little encouragement from Trent Bray to say, let's get in the playbook and let's understand what I'm doing because I'm in a brand new position. Him not being outside where he's in space, I think will benefit him greatly. I think he's grown up as a football player when it comes to the acumen of football, and I think that will help him a lot because he was thinking way too much. And the next thing you know, people are running by him, and we're all sitting around going, this guy is better than this. What is going on? Yeah. He's got himself to the level of being a football player. And I think also playing it aside, Chris Weber will help him a lot tonight. I also think for the first time really in his career, he's being pressured from behind by Mo Berry. And so there's a fight every day to keep your job, and that's making not only Mo Berry better, but it's also making Young better.
Yep. Gary Sharp with us, Hail Varsity Radio. You're right. That competition, that constant pressure is a really good thing. A guy that has been able to kind of wow from time to time in camp, not to over-exaggerate it, but I want to talk defensive line and Carlos Davis, Gary. What could be in store for him this season? What are your expectations for him?
Monster year. I think he is ready to explode. He's had a fantastic offseason. He's in great shape, and he's got a motor that doesn't stop. And I think he will go as far as he wants to take himself. Him and his brother are ready to do havoc. And I think he will be the bull in the china shop. He's tough to stop. I expect him to have a big night tonight and throughout the entire season. He is a guy to keep your eyes on every single play. And he's at a position where you can make some noise, and I expect him to do that. I've been really excited about his progress, and he has found the right position coach to push the right buttons with him, and he's going to make himself into a big-time football player before he walks out of school.
No, I think you're right, and he came in, and if you talk to folks, and I know you have, he came in ahead of the curve just from a talent he came from a good football school, so he came into college a better football player than a lot of kids. He's not a project, okay? So you couple that with Perella. Is he going to be kind of leaned on this year as Nebraska's best pass rusher, knowing that Freedom's been around and kind of been the lead sack guy? Is there a chance for Carlos to kind of take that mantle and be the guy that can kind of resurrect Nebraska's pass rush?
Well, he could be. You'd like that because the four of the last five Big Ten champions have finished in the top three in sacks in the league.
Yeah.
Nebraska was down in the middle of the pack last year. I think this is a defense that could generate four guys at least that have six or more sacks. Nebraska still, with the way you play in a 3-4, they're deficient in some spots in terms of the kind of player they want there.
Mm-hmm.
But this is also a kind of a new start for Freedom. You know, we've always said, all right, Freedom's a good player, but we've been also wanting more. So I think both of those defensive ends have a shot to make a lot of noise this year. But watch the sack total. That's a number I'll be watching all season long. A couple of years ago, it was four of the last five Big Ten champions had led the league in total takeaways, not plus-minus, but total takeaways. Last year, the way it played out with Penn State and Michigan near the top, look at the sacks. So I think Nebraska will have at least four guys that have six or more sacks this year. But one other thing I want to say that you brought up, Schmitty, and Mark has brought it up as well. The one thing I've noticed through spring ball, through summer conditioning, through fall ball, with this entire team, whether they're now under football guy Bob or whether they're over on the other side of the football, this appears to be X's and O's wise and understanding the nuances of the game a lot smarter team. A team that has worked on that and has done more classroom work, that is smarter to adjust as things unfold during a game than maybe the past couple of teams from top to bottom. And I think you can't overlook that. And then you throw in how quiet and how comfortable and how non-drama there was this fall. I think that bodes well for a good start for Nebraska.
I want to go back to Carlos Davis because we've heard that quite a bit, that he's ready to blow up. And as you were talking about that, Schmitt's nodding his head like, yep. From having seen him, But most fans have not seen a lot of him and know like what he's capable of. You saw him have some moments last year, but not a ton. He's similar in size to Malik Collins, you know, the 6'2", 290-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that a good comparison of what we can expect? Because, you know, Malik had some speed, had some explosion, pretty athletic guy.
I think Carlos is shiftier, Gary. Am I wrong? I like Malik a lot, but I think Carlos is just shiftier from that lateral footwork standpoint.
Well, both guys had an explosive first step. Mm-hmm. It's almost like they were anticipating the snap of the ball, and that first step put them ahead of the game mm-hmm. against the linemen that they were going against. And I think that's an area with the footwork that Carlos Davis has worked on a lot in the offseason. And that has really benefited him in getting that first step. But you're absolutely right, Mark and Chris. He's explosive at the point of attack. He's got some anger to him, and he plays with an edge. And then you throw in his improved quickness and his hands. His hands are something else that I noticed have gotten better. I think all of that, that's a nice little package as now you're in your third year of playing college football that he'll be able to use because, don't kid yourself, there'll be times where he's going up against some of the best offensive linemen in the Big Ten out there at that tackle spot.
Mm-hmm. Gary Sharp with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Let's go over to the offensive side of the ball. We're going to see some new faces at receiver for sure. Nebraska's basically got two experienced, healthy scholarship receivers, Stanley Morgan and DPE. Everybody else you really haven't seen. Are you counting on J.D. Spielman or Tyjon Lindsey or both to be household names by the end of the year?
J.D. Spielman first and then Tyjon Lindsey not very far behind.
Okay.
Those guys getting the ball in space and letting them run, I think, will be very, very important. But let's don't forget about the veteran guys. Stanley Morgan finally gets the opportunity to be the man. DeMornay Personnel gets the opportunity to return. Those guys will be relied on heavily. I think there's also a receiving room that will have four guys that catch 30 or more balls this year. You also have to factor in, you're going to see more this year where guys catch the ball on the run, not where they have to come back from the ball and stop any momentum and get tackled. They're going to catch the ball on the run, so yards after catch could be a big stat to keep your eye on this year as well. And I think we think we know what Stanley Morgan can do and DeMornay Personnel can do. Well, I think we're going to see more of that because if, let's say, last year, Stanley Morgan, who wasn't targeted a ton during games, maybe four and a half times a game he'd be targeted.
Yeah.
Two of those times that he'd be targeted, the ball that was thrown his way was uncatchable.
Yep.
Well, now if we're factoring in Tanner Lee and what we think he can do, you're probably thinking, guys, three of the four balls that Stanley Morgan will be targeted for will be on the money. So that just elevates his game. I'm really excited to see what happens there. But the pass catchers, they're going to have a field day this year in this offense if things work well and Tanner Lee's given those quick seconds to get rid of the ball and let those guys run.
You painted a good picture, man. And I have these visions, you know, of hitting these receivers in stride. I have these visions of DPE, Spielman, Lindsey doing these shallow crossing routes and just taking off. Does Nebraska, have you seen, I guess, just physically, talent-wise, has Nebraska had a fleet of players like that at that position, I mean, even ever? Do you know what I mean? Like, in terms of, because they're all three, those jitterbug, fast, undersized, like all three of those guys.
I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you. I think we've seen, let's go back to last year, the Alonzo Moores and the Brandon Rileys that could stretch the field that way. These guys are, and we've, in the times that we've been able to see practice, we've seen the crossing routes where they hit guys in stride, where they get in that second level and they catch the ball, and then once they turn the corner. But they're guys that have, you know, they're I guess you'd call them the little bitty crew, because Tyjon Lindsey's not a big guy, but boy, can he blaze. But they're going to utilize the speed. That's, again, going back to the offseason and last time people saw Nebraska to now, there's certain guys you will be able to see today or tonight, and you'll say, oh, gosh, they had a great summer in conditioning offseason. The one thing that stands out that will be noticeable on both sides of the ball right away is this team is a lot faster than I think they've been in a couple of years.
Hmm.
And those wide receivers, if you thought Stanley Morgan couldn't get faster, I think he is this year. And that's a great sign for Nebraska and a bad sign for defenses around the Big Ten.
Gary Sharp with us. Sharpie, as we say goodbye, a season prediction on Nebraska, if you're willing to make one, what's the number they hit win-wise?
I think they go 8-4. They've still got some challenges and some depth issues there and here and there, and it's going to be a learning curve on both sides of the ball. But I think 8-4 this year, If they can find a way in their division to go 5-1, then we might be changing that. But I think 8-4 this year, showing progress, because keep in mind, they'll roll out the two deep today, 36 of the 44, and that's without Chris Jones or JoJo Doman. They're eligible to come back next year. If you have a good year where you feel like you've made progress in every area and you continue your momentum recruiting, Nebraska, this time when we have this discussion, will be the preseason favorite to win the Big Ten. But I see them at 8-4 this year, and I think they'll be a more sound football team with a more difficult schedule than 2016.
Absolutely. Gary Sharp with us. Sharpie, it's great to have you back. Thanks for giving us a few minutes. We'll see you a bit later, bud.
Hey, thanks, guys. See you tonight.
Take care. There he is. Gary Sharp with us, the Iron Horse on Hail Varsity Radio. A quick timeout. We'll say goodbye and get your season started as Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
To rise with Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranick.
One final time on a Saturday. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for spending time. And congrats, you've made it. It is kickoff 2017, the opener for Nebraska. And a reminder to you, if you plan to go out tonight after the game, make sure to get that designated driver. Make a plan. And if not, you could face some decision-making you're not happy with. If you get caught drinking and driving, you'll face a DWI that could cost you up to $12,000 in fines and fees and jail time, and you'd be required to install the interlock device to your vehicle. So when you make plans tonight, before or after the game, make sure you have a sober ride home before you go out. Remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office. Kranick, you feeling all right?
Yeah, you know, I'm feeling excited just because what we closed with Gary Sharp with is, you know, I've always been jealous of those teams. You've always watched, you know, flashback to some of the early Miami teams, even nowadays Clemson, of just, you know, those teams that have this stable of fleet, small receivers that just
matchup issues.
Yeah, they just terrorize you, you know, and they break long ones, and you're just like, and Nebraska, I think, has had maybe one of those guys occasionally. But you legitimately have three. Now, they haven't done anything yet. You got DPE, who still has a lot to prove at wide receiver. He does. You got Tyjon Lindsey, hasn't taken a snap. J.D. Spielman, that hasn't taken a snap. But those three going to play. Well, and they're going to play, right? It's not like these are guys that are going to be waiting in the wings. No, these dudes are playing this year. Their skill set is very much sub-4.5. They're small. They're jukey, you know, like you just haven't seen that on Nebraska's roster. You haven't seen Nebraska attack teams like that ever.
Well, think about just the simple pitch and catch on a route, and then letting a guy, a fella you have, do the rest of the work. Look at what flipped the game with Ohio State, Indiana, just as an example. Yeah. I mean, JT Barrett didn't make hard throws. The dude threw to his wideouts 7 to 9 yards downfield on a crossing route. The guy got a block and went 80 yards for a big play because they're freak athletes and they had that type of explosion.
Yeah.
Nebraska trying to accumulate more guys like that with a Spielman, with a Lindsey, with a DPE.
You got three of them.
Right. You take the simple play and you get it to the house. You stress the defense, make them attack you and tackle in space.
Like, who knows? Maybe these dudes will drop the ball all the time, like literally. Maybe their hands won't be good. Maybe they won't know what they're doing and do bad routes. But if they sort of know what they're doing and they catch the ball, they absolutely have game-breaking speed. That is not in question.
Sure.
DPE has... It's all you want, speed-wise.
And I think there's enough shake there that they can do things afterwards. You've seen that from DPE when healthy.
Those guys are house calls. As long as they know what they're doing, as long as they catch the ball, and as long as it is delivered to them. And it's just going to be super cool to see Nebraska. You know, we talk about, you know, the change in offensive systems and all that, but not even necessarily the systems. I'm talking the personnel plus the system is going to be completely brand new and foreign. We have never seen that kind of offense in Lincoln.
And you got a trigger man.
Right?
And you got a trigger man.
We've never seen that. Nope. Nebraska's had good receivers. Look, Kenny Bell was good. Quincy Enunwa was good. Nate Swift. But typically those are kind of bigger guys, more outside threats, more vertical threats. You know, Westerkamp is an over-the-middle guy but wasn't great after the catch. right? Like, you just have not seen this. It's cool. That'll be cool to see. Will it work? Who knows? Who knows? You're counting on some dudes that haven't done it yet. But, that's cool. That's an exciting brand of football to watch.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Right?
No, and again,
if it works.
Just make the simple play. And then let the athleticism you have allow the spectacular play. And that's what Nebraska can do with some of their roster construction if guys can step up. Mark Kranak, Chris Schmidt, we welcome you to 2017 as football season is here for Nebraska. And we appreciate you tuning in to Hail Varsity Radio. You missed the show, can log on hailvarsity.com, get the podcast, iTunes, or the ESPN Lincoln app. Speaking of ESPN Lincoln, FM 101.5, 1480, catch Nick Gregeth and Hooksy. They'll be at the From Nebraska gift shop today, getting your pregame going 3:30 to 5:30 today. We'll talk to you next week on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.